And good morning. Today is Monday, April 27th, 2015. I'm Emily Kwong, and on our morning interview today, I'm very, very excited that we have a guest from out of town. Could you introduce yourself?
Who are you? Yeah, my name is Molly Weisenberg, and I'm here visiting from Seattle.
Molly, you are a food writer and a restaurateur from Seattle. And you are most known for your blog, The Orangette.
Yeah, Orangette.
Can you tell us a bit about how you started this blog? What came first, the food or the writing? How did it begin?
So I grew up in Oklahoma in a family of avid home cooks and food lovers. And my dad was sort of the every night cook, and my mom was kind of a special occasions baker, but food was how we spent time together as a family. And as I was growing up, I kind of realized that not every family was like that. You know, not every family talked about what they were going to eat tomorrow at tonight's dinner, you know? And I started to become interested in food myself, and I struggled as I was, you know, as I was going through my teen years and through college to figure out what to do with that, because there wasn't an obvious thing to do with food, you know, professionally.
Except for eat it
or be a chef. And I didn't really want to be a chef. That's a very particular lifestyle. And anyway, I, at the suggestion of a friend in 2004, so it'll be 11 years ago this summer, I decided to start a food blog. And at the time, I was a graduate student at the University of Washington. I was in a cultural anthropology program, and I liked it, but I felt like I didn't want it as badly as my peers did. I didn't want it badly enough to sort of really make a go at being an anthropologist. And this friend of mine said, you know, you should start a blog. It would be a great way to sort of figure out why you keep coming back to food. You know, why you, when you're finished doing your homework for the night, why all you want to do is cook and read about food. And it was really through writing and through the blog holding me accountable to showing up and writing. It was really through writing that I started to figure out why I cared about food. And I think it's that food is a really interesting, food is a wonderful way to look at what matters to us. Food is a wonderful, it's a lens. It's like a magnifying glass. It's sort of, it's a wonderful way to understand the decisions we make and the people we choose to make those decisions with.
11 years into your blog. How many readers do you have? How often do you post? What is the scope right now versus when you were a grad student and typing away late in the evening?
Well, you know, I mean, I started it not expecting anybody to read it. This was in the very early days of blogs. I hardly even understood what it was that I was doing. But the beautiful thing about it is that it was public, you know, it was different from just writing in a notebook for myself. I felt like the fact that I had this thing online, like I had made a pact with this hypothetical reader out there that I was going to keep coming back and I was going to keep writing. And my life has changed a lot since then. I'm now married to a man who I met through the blog, who was a reader of mine. And we now own two restaurants. And we now have a daughter who's 2.5. And so the frequency with which I write has changed a lot over time. In the beginning, I was just giddily pouring out writing, you know, maybe 3 posts a week. Now I aim for 1 post a week. And I really do think that, you know, I think the intuitive wisdom that quality over quantity always wins has worked for me.
Especially since you have more eyes. Like I've seen some of your posts, and they'll have 73 comments, people weighing in on all.
Yeah, I've been so lucky to have a really wonderful community of readers and a lot of people who've lasted with me for a long time.
Do you want to read an excerpt?
I would love to.
From your blog? Okay, so this is from The Orangette, Molly Weisenberg.
Yeah, so this is something I wrote in, I think this was the summer of 2010 or 2011. It's called Now Here, Now There. I have 2 half-brothers who live on the East Coast, and when I was a kid, if they came home for the holidays, they would bring a styrofoam cooler of oysters. My father would get out his knife and shucking glove and lean against the kitchen counter, flicking grit and shells into the sink as he went, and they would all stand around eating and sighing, making the noises that people make when they eat oysters. I don't know how old I was that night, but I think I must have been about 6. I stood next to my father while he shucked, and he leaned down and gave me an oyster, a fat one, an enormous one, amoeba-like, dripping with brine. I have no memory of eating it. I think I forgot on purpose. But I do know that I ate it, approximately, if nearly choking can be considered eating, and that it took me 25 years to eat another. 25 years. 25 years. When I get freaked out about something, I get freaked out, like quarter of a century long freak out, freaked out. The look of an oyster, the texture, the choking thing. I was all right with the idea of never eating a second one. But around this time last year, we had a cook at Delancey who wanted to play around with oysters. And so Brandon went to the Sunday market and bought some Kumamotos. At lunch that day, this cook made a mignonette, and then he shucked three oysters and put them on a plate. And then he dared me. I wanted to punch him in the face. I did what I do when I am presented with something that scares me. I picked up an oyster, stared at it, and felt like I was going to cry. I made everyone look away, and then I ate it. Only one, and it was tiny, but I ate it. I chewed and everything, and I didn't die. And when I swallowed, the flavor rang around my mouth, the way the ringing of a bell ricochets inside a cathedral. Now here, now there, now here, now there. And it did that for maybe 10 seconds, now here, now there, before it dissipated. It tasted like seawater and melon and wet rocks. I didn't even hate it. I almost liked it. I'm not going to tell you that I'm a reformed person or that I pop oysters like jelly beans. I'm still working on it. Last spring, the first time I was faced with a dozen oysters, a whole dozen to myself, I felt like ducking under the table and making a run for it. I was forced to resort to something like Lamaze breathing techniques, a full body to get me from oyster to oyster. Sometimes I still do, but it's getting easier and it's worth it to me because there's no other flavor like it. I'm glad I learned that and that I let myself learn it. A couple of weeks ago, when we had friends in town, I took them to our neighborhood oyster bar, a place called the Walrus and the Carpenter. We ate oysters from the Effingham Inlet on the west coast of Vancouver Island. Ben had never been there before, and when he tasted his first, he yelled, "Oh my God!" It was that kind of oyster. I met a man on a plane once, and we got talking about food. This guy had a Texas accent and the stature of a former football player. But his mother was a tiny Italian woman, he told me, holding his hands about a foot apart to show me how tall she was. We talked about Seattle restaurants, about where he took his wife for their wedding anniversary, about our dogs, about his kids. He has a son in his early 20s, and this son is away at college. But sometimes, when they're together, he told me, they go out for oysters. They'll suck down 4 or 5 dozen, he said, grinning, and they'll drink some beers, just the two of them, and a couple of hours will go by, and it's just great, he said. And then he grinned even wider, thinking about it, and he sort of hopped around in his seat, and his face got pink, and he started to giggle. This big man giggled. I get it now, and I'm glad for that.
Molly Weisenberg reading from her blog, The Orangette. That was wonderful.
Thanks.
If you want to hear Molly read, you have a beautiful reading voice too. Tonight she will be reading from her books at Kettleson Memorial Library at 7 o'clock this evening. What will you'll be reading from your books? What can the public expect?
Well, so my first book, A Homemade Life, is about, you know, growing up in Oklahoma, and it's about home cooking and about losing my dad when I was in my early 20s. And I'll be reading a little bit from that. And then I'll also be reading from Delancey, which is coming out in paperback next month. And that's the story of how I married a man who was a composer, and suddenly he turned out to be a chef.
Delancey's your restaurant in Seattle.
Yes.
And what are you famous for? What does it serve?
So my husband is originally from New Jersey. And when he moved to Seattle, he really missed the pizza that he grew up with. And so he taught himself how to make it. And that's what we're known for at Delancey, is wood-fired pizza.
And I have to ask, because I love a good love story, in as much detail as you're willing to offer, how he was a reader of your blog. So how did he become the husband in your life?
I know it's I don't know whether to be embarrassed by it or think it's the best story ever. So I had been writing the blog for about 9 months. This was April. It was actually 10 years ago, a couple weeks ago. He was living in New York City. A friend of his with whom he liked to cook, she was looking for a recipe for a particular kind of lemon cake. And she found my blog and she started reading it. And she thought to herself, this sounds like my friend Brandon. He sounds like this is the woman for him. And so she sent him, pardon me, she sent him a text. And this was in the early days of texting, and said, I found the woman for you. And so he started reading my site and he sent me an email. And for some reason, I didn't delete it. Weird, I know. But anyway, we met in person 3 weeks later, and his friend was right. So, yeah.
And he is with you in Sitka these next 3 days. What will you and he be doing together? I hear you're going to be teaching some classes to kids.
Yeah, we're going to be teaching. We're going to be working with a class of fourth graders at Keat. Talking about, my husband will be talking about pizza. He is the pizza expert in this relationship. He will be talking about pizza as a way of understanding some principles of chemistry and science, how three really simple ingredients can come together to make dough. So he'll be talking about that, and I'll be working with these fourth graders on writing.
I have one last question for you, Molly. Many more, but we unfortunately don't always have a lot of time, which is a lot of people like to write, say they want to start a blog. What is the difference between those people and the people who really have a blog, who really own the space? And are successful at it. And if you have advice, give it. But I think, what do you see in knowing the world of food blogging? She just won a James Beard Award, ladies and gentlemen. I should note, James Beard, broadcast books, broadcast and journalist for Best Individual Food Blog Award. What is the difference?
You know, I think that especially these days, when a lot of people are turning blogs into businesses, I think that it can be really easy to think of what you do as a brand and how to make money on it. But I think that the sites that really stand out and the sites that I want to read and what I hope my site is a place where it's really clear that somebody is writing about what they truly, honestly care about and setting really high standards for themselves. That is the only thing that I think has ever worked for me, is to keep showing up every day and setting higher and higher standards for myself and trying to achieve them. And yeah, there's no secret.
And yet here you are. And it's really great that you're in town. And thank you for sharing your writing talents and food savvy with us. Molly Weisenberg will be reading from her work at an event, a free event tonight at Kettleson Memorial Library, 7:00. She and her husband, who is a chef, are also working with fourth graders. So some fourth graders out there are going to get to learn all about pizza and food writing. Molly, thanks so much for being in the studio with us.
Thank you for having me.